thing. Good morning, everybody. And welcome. Let me get to where we're starting. So today, we welcome you if you're new to our church today. And we thank you for being here. I see some new faces. And it's a joy to see new faces in our church. So if you're visiting today in our church, we want to welcome you here to New Life Bible Church. In this church, we love the Word of God, and we are a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church. We teach and preach straight out of the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word of God. And today, normally we are preaching, Pastor John is taking us through the book of John, but today we're going to take a little detour. He's on vacation enjoying his son's graduation from test pilot school out in Edwards Air Force Base. So today we're going to take a little side trip, as he likes to call it. We're in Matthew chapter 5. So turn with me and take your Bibles with you and turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And while you're turning there, just to get you some context of where we're going today. Today our study is during Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus saw the multitudes of people, and he went up to the mountain where his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them the eight beatitudes, or blessings of Christian character. And those blessings include a person who is poor in spirit, which means to be emptied of your pride and the arrogance and humbly submit to our Lord. He told us we are blessed if we mourn. And this would include mourning over our old sinful ways. He told us we are blessed if we are gentle, if we hunger for righteousness, if we are merciful, if we are pure in heart, and if we are peacemakers. He told us we are blessed if we are persecuted on account of him. All attributes of Christian character. So now we come to verses 13 through 16, and Jesus begins to teach the results of our behavior and the results of the blessings if we are truly one of his disciples. So today the sermon, the title of the sermon today is called The Influence of Good Works. The influence of good works. We'll be reading today from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Come with me now. This is the word of the Lord. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and give it light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us this message today. Father, we pray that this teaching will be edifying to the body. We pray that it is truth, and we pray that your word will be spoken, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. All right. So what I want you to see out of this text today is one main truth, and that truth is simply this. If you are in Christ, if you have accepted the wonderful gift of salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then your good works have a great influence on this lost and dying world. Your good works have a great influence on this lost and dying world. And within that key truth, let us answer three questions today. I want to answer three questions today. Those questions are this. What is the product that creates our good works? What is the product that creates our good works? Question two, could there be a problem with our works? Could there be a problem with our works? And question three is, what is the purpose of our works? What is the purpose of our works? So let's dig in. What's the product of our good works? Or we could even ask ourselves, what is the product that creates the influence of good works? So I want to take you back to the first part of verses 13 and 14. Look at those again. What does it say? It says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus uses these two products of salt and light as a metaphor for how our good works can influence. But how are we to be this product of salt? Well, first, let's take a look at what salt is. Salt was used at one time as a preservative to prevent decay. Salt is used to add flavor to most foods. And salt is God's instrument for purification. Salt is mostly composed of two elements, and those elements are chlorine and sodium. And when those elements are united, salt becomes the preservative, and salt becomes the flavor enhancer. But if those two ingredients are not combined, they do not produce the desired result. So in the same way, our Christian influence, or our character, is composed of two elements. It's composed of two elements. And those two elements are faith and works. Faith and works. And just a quick reminder, I'm not up here today preaching to you that our works will earn us salvation. That is not what the scripture tells us. But our works are simply a result of our salvation. They're a result of our salvation. More on that later. So both faith and works work in unison together to glorify our Father in heaven. And James tells us, for just as the body without a spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. And as salt changes distasteful food to more palatable, tasty food, our Christian influence is the antidote for the corruption in both individuals and society as a whole. Let me say that one more time. Our Christian influence is an antidote for the corruption of both individuals and society as a whole. So the other product Jesus gives us is light. Look at verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. This light is a reference or a metaphor to the path of the righteous and the path of the just. The book of Proverbs tells us the path of the just is a shining light. Then look what he says at the end of verse 14. He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. This metaphor is used to explain our light should be shining so bright it cannot be hidden. We should be glorifying God so much that we cannot wait to tell someone about his goodness. And look at verse 15. At the end it says, and it gives light to all who are in the house. It gives light to all that are in the house. Our light shines for the good of others through the influence of our good works. Our light is not just carried. Our light is not just reflected, or it is not just transmitted. Look at verse 13 and 14. You are the salt and the light. You are the light. You are the salt. This is our characteristics as Christians and should influence our good works. The product of salt and light makes the difference in our character. Our willingness to forgive when wronged, forgiving or overlooking an offense, believing the best of others, not seeking what we want, but what's best for others. All examples of how product of salt and light influence our good work. But that's not all. As you continue to read the Sermon on the Mount, which I highly recommend, we see that Jesus has given us ammunition for how we live like this salt and light. He tells us things like, even hatred is considered like murder. Jesus tells us to make friends with our opponents. He tells us that even lustful thoughts are sin. He tells us not to make false promises, not to take revenge on people, to go the extra mile for someone. Jesus tells us to love your enemies. He tells us to love your enemies. Anyone can love those who love us. But what a counterculture item that is to love your enemies. He tells us not to promote ourselves, but be humble. He tells us to not to judge people before you examine yourself first. He tells us, take the log out of your own eye before you try taking the speck out of someone else's eye. This behavior is so counterculture to today's view. You will either be looked at as crazy or even persecuted, like he says in verse 11, or someone will thank you for sharing that with tears in their eyes. So, church, I ask you, do you want to be an influence of good works? Jesus has given us the recipe. Follow these examples that Jesus has given us, and the product you will help produce will be people that are glorifying our Father in heaven. Your salt may be able to flavor a hardened heart, and your light could help bring someone out of their darkness. Our influence through good works can help bring understanding to difficult situations and turn a doubtful heart into a trusting heart, trusting in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we've talked about this product of salt, this product of light, our product that creates good works and influence of good works. But if you remember, our second question is this. Could there be a problem with our works? Could there be a problem with our works? Look back at verse 13 and verse 15 again with me for a minute. The end of verse 13 says, "But if salt becomes tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore, except to be thrown and trampled underfoot by men." And look at verse 15. "Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket." So I'm going to ask you this question. If you know the Lord, how do people walk? How do people look? How do people look at your walk in life? How do people look at you? Do they even know your beliefs? Do people see you as just another person on the street? Is there evidence of your faith? We have a sign over here in Fellowship Hall in the east entrance over here. It says, "If you are arrested today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence to convict you? Are your works just to simply please people or simply satisfy your own desires, or are they to glorify God?" So a couple questions. Husbands, are you living with your wife in an understanding way? Do you love your wife just as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her in a sacrificial way? If not, you could be tasteless salt in a light hidden under a basket. And the influence of your works, it could be a problem. Wives, are you being subject to your husband as to the Lord? Do your qualities include a quiet and gentle spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord? If not, you could be tasteless salt in a light hidden under a basket. And the influence of your good works, that could be a problem. How about children here and young adults? Are you obeying your parents? Are you honoring your father and mother? Are you respectful to the elderly and respectful to authority, to your teachers? If not, you too could be tasteless salt and a light hidden under a basket. And your influence of good works, there could be a problem. And what about when you walk out of these doors today? What about when you walk out today after this message? At work, do you partake in gossip? Do you disrespect your boss and talk behind their back? Do you slack off when no one's looking? Or do you put in a true day's work? Are you obedient to the government like the Bible teaches to do? Or do you purposely speed down the street in your car? Do you cheat on your taxes? Or maybe not even pick up after your dog? So that was kind of convicting to me. You could be tasteless salt or light hidden under a basket. And the influence of your good works, these could be a problem. And listen, church family, this message is just for me and it's for anybody else in here. So we've answered the question about the product of our works, the possibility of a problem about our works. So let's answer our third question. What's the purpose of our works? What's the purpose? We'll look at verse 16 again, and it'll answer a question really easy. This is the easiest one you'll hear. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is our purpose. We should be doing all things for the sake of the gospel. And we should walk in a manner worthy of God. Which leads us to one more question, maybe one more. I used to have a football coach when I was a little kid that kept saying, one more play, and then 2 hours later, we were done. So this may not be the last question. So this question is, how? How do we live a life, manner worthy of God? How do I let my light shine before men? Remember in the purpose we talked about all the items Jesus gave us for a recipe to be salt and light. But I want to share one more thing with you that I think might be helpful. It was helpful to me. During my morning drive to work, I listened to family radio and Bob Cook. Some of you probably know Dr. Bob Cook. And even though he has long since gone to be with our Lord, his messages have so much value. And one morning when I was driving to work, he asked this question. It's almost like he was asking it to me. He said, is what I'm about to do glorifying your Father in heaven? Is what I'm about to do glorifying our God in heaven? And so for our teaching today, we might be able to ask it like this. Is my light shining before men so that they may see my good works and glorifying my Father in heaven? You see, God is a holy God. Are my works consistent with God's holiness? You see, God, he's a just God. Are my works consistent with God's justice? You see, God is a loving God. Are my works consistent with God's love? And God is a merciful God. Are my works consistent with God's mercy? Are we being salt and preserving God's goodness? Are we being light and reflecting his glory? My friends, this is where the rubber meets the road. One other question, maybe. Maybe. Am I living in a manner worthy of the God who I serve? And do my works reflect this? You see, the only God some people may see is the God reflected in your life. The only Jesus they may see is the Jesus whom you serve. You see, my dear family, the only God they may know is the one they see in you. Are your works influencing them for the gospel? You know, Lisa and I were, I don't know how to put it, we were just so influenced by the good works of this church just last week. We witnessed these two products of salt and light in our church family. Lisa was coming home from the hardware store one day last week when someone turned into her lane, hitting her head on in a hit-and-run, seemingly on-purpose incident, and praise the Lord, she walked away with just scratches and soreness. But Lisa was shaken up by this act of what seemed to be evil. But the good works that came out of our church family was amazing. And you were salt and light. One of you offered us a car to borrow. More people that I can count texted us and visited, offering comfort, meals, visits. The next day, we saw visitors all day, people sacrificing their needs to comfort Lisa and comfort us in this trial. We were so humbled by this outpouring of good works. And what did it do? It glorified our Father in heaven. It glorified our Father in heaven. So today we've discussed three questions based on the one key truth of this text. And that truth is, again, your good works have a great influence on this lost and dying world. The three questions were this: what's the product that creates our good works? Could there be a problem with our good works? And what was the purpose? What is the purpose of our good works? But if you're here today and you have heard nothing of this salt and light, and you have not received the beautiful gift of free and everlasting salvation, there is one more truth, and maybe a lot more questions I have to ask. The truth is this, is there is a fact of sin. We have all rejected God. None of us are good. No, none are good, the Bible says. We are all sinners, and we have fallen short of God's wonderful glory. And the fact is, there's a penalty for this sin. And that penalty? Physical death. The mere fact that you sit here today, knowing that someday you'll die, just proves that you're under God's condemnation. And the fact is that the penalty must be paid. You have an appointment to keep. God will bring all work into judgment, even every secret thing, whether good or evil. We have an appointment to keep with our Creator. We will have to give account for our lives. And if you have ever lied, if you've ever stolen, if you've ever cheated, if you've ever lusted, if you've ever coveted, if you've ever gossiped about anybody, you're going to have to defend yourself in front of a holy God. And my friends, that will not go well. And you will face a second death, and you will be thrown into a lake of fire, which is eternal hell forever. So I've shared this bad news with you. I've shared this sickness of sin with you to try to put the fear of God in you if you do not know the Lord. And so you can appreciate the beautiful good news. The good news is the fact is that Jesus has paid this penalty. Praise the Lord. God demonstrated his own love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have broken God's law, and Jesus has paid the penalty. That's what happened on that cross on Calvary 2,000 years ago. When Jesus was dying on the cross and he said, "It is finished." The fact of this payment is also, this payment is a free gift. We cannot earn it. There is no works that can earn this gift. For by grace we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works that no one should boast. But here's another last fact of this message. Is this free gift? It must be received. And just like any other gift, we can turn it down. So you must receive this gift. You must receive this gift. But as many as received Jesus, to them God gave the right to become children of God through those who believe in his name. And you might be asking yourself, you might be sitting here today going, "How do I receive this gift? How do I receive it?" It's so easy. All you have to do is humble yourself, repent of your sins, and believe that Jesus is your true Savior. The worst thing you can do today is stiffen your neck and your pride and your arrogance and reject the most wonderful gift offered ever in human history. Amen. Believe in Jesus today. Today is the day. He will take your old heart of stone, your old heart of bitterness, and he will give you a heart of flesh. He will give you a heart of love. You will learn to hate the sin you once loved and to love the things of God which you once hated. Don't do it. Don't delay. Or do it. Don't delay. Do this today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this message of our influence, of our good works. Father, we pray that when we walk out of here today, we can be an influence. We pray that we can love you and honor you and ask that question, is what I am doing today for you and for good influence of the gospel? In Jesus' name we pray, amen.